Hello, this is DJ Jake Simon, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Welcome back to Global Grooves, your favorite Monday show. Although this is quite a stacked lineup, we have some good stuff coming up later today in the studio. If you're new to the show, Global Grooves, we play music from all around the world, try to spotlight artists from countries other than our own, speaking languages that are different than our own, because there's a lot of cool stuff that people don't listen to from all around the world, and I really just want to, expand people's minds, get you listening to some cool stuff from all around the world. We don't always have a theme, we kind of just have a loose topic that we'd like to kind of talk about, and of course we do requests. If you're listening and you have anything you want to hear, call the studio, hit me up, you'll listen to, we'll fit it into the programming today. But today I want to we're getting a little cerebral, do a little bit of talking today. We're going to unpack a lot of stuff, because that's what you do at liberal arts universities. You take things and you unpack them and you find out where they come from, what they will lead to, and stuff of that sort. So, in honor of that, in honor of this being Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, freeform, keyword there, we're gonna talk about a lot of stuff. I'm really interested in ethnomusicology. So, what does that mean? That's a big word. We have a lot of those in college as well, big words. But ethnomusicology is basically the study of music, culture, geography, history. It's basically how music moves around and how people use music throughout history. Super interesting to me. I've written some pieces for actually the WMFO blog. Check that out. It's called Geography of Genre, talking about how different genres have kind of moved throughout the United States and how blues and jazz music gave birth to hip-hop and R&B and soul and a lot of the stuff that we hear today. Super interesting to me to see where that starts, where it ends up, how what it looks like today, and where those influences kind of come in. So that's always a goal on the show, highlight something that might have been from a really long time ago that no one really knows about, either through sampling, either through musical influences from around the world, and show how they are still relevant today. So music and culture, we'll talk about history and politics, because music is just an element, as much of an element as culture as everything else. I think the big three tenets of culture are music, language, and food. Those three things, I always, like, whenever I'm, like, traveling or getting a feel for a place, I always try to tap into those three things, because I think those really dictate how humans and people interact and, kind of the state of being at that certain time. So music can be very reactionary to current events. Music and politics, of course, like, you know, entire genres, like punk rock is a countercultural thing. Kind of the psychedelic music of the 60s is, you know, a reaction to a lot of the buttoned up kind of hardline traditional American, I say that in quotations very hard, family values that arose out of the post-World War United States, post-World War II United States. Most importantly, today I would like to be discussing how Lil Yachty took the walk to Poland, because this is Global Grooves and I think that's what we talk about. But anyway, we got a lot of cool stuff coming up for you today. We have some music out of Senegal, some music from Italy, some French disco coming up. And so stick around and enjoy the dulcet tones of Las from Senegal with Boumaye.
Lepp luñu mësa def ngir ñun la rek way mané good now. Ho sbagliato tante volte ormai che lo so già. E oggi quasi certamente sto sbagliando su di te. Ma una volta in più che cosa può cambiare nella vita mia? Accettare questo strano appuntamento è stata una pazzia. Sono triste tra la gente che mi sta passando accanto, ma la nostalgia di rivedere te è forte più del pianto. Questo sole accende sul mio volto un segno di speranza. Sto aspettando quando a un tratto ti vedrò spuntare in lontananza. Amore, fai presto, io non resisto. Non esisto, non esisto. È cambiato il tempo, sta piovendo, ma resto ad aspettare. Non mi importa cosa il mondo può pensare, io non me ne voglio andare. Guardo dentro e mi domando, ma non sento niente. Sono solo un resto di speranza perduta tra la gente. Amore, già tardi, ma non resisto. Se tu non arrivi, non esisto. Non esisto, non esisto. Luci, macchine, vetrine, strade, tutto quanto si confonde nella mente. La mia ombra si è stancata di seguirmi, il giorno muore lentamente. Non mi resta che tornare a casa mia. Questa vita che volevo dare a te l'hai spicciolata tra le dita. Amore, perdono, ma non resisto. Adesso per sempre non esisto, non esisto, non esisto.
That was Ornella Vanoni with L'Appuntamento from the shores of Napoli in Italy. Nice little folky artist there. Before that, we had some more music from Africa, this time from the east side in Ethiopia with Hailu Mergia and the Dalak Band. So I promised some cerebral, some real talk on this podcast. This is not a podcast. But it sounded like a podcast today. On this episode of Global Grooves Today, I mentioned before ethnomusicology and music as a reaction to current events, politics, happenings in history, big things. Today it feels like there's a earth-shattering event nearly every week. It's getting pretty hard to open up the news, turn on the TV, just, you know, natural disaster, unnatural disaster, disaster all around. There's a lot of stuff happening, and there always has been a lot of stuff happening. I think there's a misconception that today it's particularly bad, but no, it's been pretty crazy, and it is always pretty crazy. So I think we should keep that in mind and try to focus on the things that are getting better, because there are a lot of things that are getting better. Anyway, good example of I love seeing music and artists react in real time to things. I think that's been accelerated today with social media. You can see your favorite artist like post something on Twitter. If someone dies or if something happens, you get their instant reaction. But it wasn't always like that. Usually there'd be big events, and if you wanted to know what an artist was thinking at that particular moment in time, you would have to either wait for an interview or a radio show or, you know, a release to get their thoughts on something, especially if you know they're tapped into that and it's a issue that's close to their heart. So a great example of this is the Specials. They were a great band out of England. Where in England were they from? Let's see. I'm not sure. Anyway, I don't know which wave of ska they were. They were in there was the Specials, there was the English Beat, there were all those ska bands in the late 70s, early 80s in England. A lot of reform there. It was kind of like a response to Thatcherism, which was a very conservative and they thought regressive way of ruling the United Kingdom. But anyway, they were focused on a lot of global issues. Specifically at this time, they have a song called Nelson Mandela that was a reaction to the imprisonment of Nelson Mandela, who was a civil rights leader in South Africa, fought against apartheid, which, quick sidebar, things have gotten better. I mean, it's not a perfect place in South Africa, but like the fight against apartheid was an incredible undoing of a really ingrained system. So I think we should always keep that in mind and not take such a defeatist attitude. But anyway, I digress. So this next song is from their In the Studio album, apt name for a song recorded in the studio by the Specials. Came out in 1984. So this was right around the time that Nelson Mandela was making headlines and everyone had his name on their tongues, talking about world events and politics. And it's a pretty spot on, you know, they wrote a song and they released it about what was going on at the time. And I think that's really cool. And I think what's, it's a bit less direct in the United States. The only thing I can think about that is like something like Green Day's American Idiot, which was kind of a thinly veiled, but still not like name referential response to the George W. Bush administration. They never mentioned him by name. Anyway, these next few songs go out to my mom. Some UK stuff. This is Nelson Mandela by The Specials.
Free Nelson Mandela. Mandela.
Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers.
It's A Crash Course for the Ravers.
Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
Just a quick shout out to my fellow community members and DJs here at WMFO. That was Brian's A Crash Course for the Ravers show. I'm often here on the weekends working in Studio B in the recording studio, and I always enjoy his radio show. He's good 1 to 4 on Saturdays, so got a lot of big time window there if you want to tune into that. What have you been playing? That was just Camino del Sol from Antenna, which is a French band singing a song in Spanish, which, you know, that's quite global if you ask me. Speaking of language, I would just want to take a break from the serious content of today's programming by just trying to show off the fact that I have a 961-day streak at Duolingo. That's like Duolingo, the language learning app. I started in January of 2020, so this was pre-COVID. Wasn't really like a New Year's resolution thing. I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna play this game. It was like a game. I did it once a day, and I kept it up. Almost 3 years later, here we are, 961 days. There's been some close calls. It was very close calls, you know, with time zones. Sometimes that messes up the counter. With traveling, I've done my Duolingo from the Duomo di Milano. I've done it from where else? From basements around Boston and Medford. There's been some close calls, I will admit. But anyway, it's been very rewarding. I started with Chinese. Then I went to Portuguese for a little bit before I went to Portugal 2 summers ago. And then I went to Italian for a little bit to prepare me for me going to Italy. I kind of like to just like get a crash course in the language before I go to the country, just to know like very basic terms. So my goal is to be able to walk into a cafe and order a coffee and not make a fool of myself, which is much, much easier said than done. I can walk in to the cafe. I can present myself very confidently. I can hold my true Euro piece up in the air, put it on the counter, and say in whatever language, "I would like a coffee, please." They will nod, and then they'll give me the coffee. But what gets me is when they start speaking to me really fast in that language, and that's when I'm just not prepared. And I'm like, that's when I kind of shrug and look at them, and I say, "Non so, despacio," or like, "The jongwen buha," or something like that. Just like, acknowledge that, okay, I'm not that far in it yet. I could just order coffee. I'm just Duolingo proficient. Anyway, I've been sticking with Arabic for the past, I think it's been about a year and a half. That's been very good. I've learned to read the alphabet. It's like, it's such a mind-bogglingly different language than English or any Romance language, or even Chinese, which is more like symbol-based, has the characters. So I think it's just very interesting seeing how this language relates to culture and the people and the language. And, you know, a big part of how I pick stuff in the show is trying to hear what the people are saying and try to decipher, see if I can pick out any words in the language that they're singing in. Always really cool. We have a lot of Middle Eastern, North African music here. I try to keep an ear out for Arabic. But you know, a good just like music, a good way language represents culture is how religious Arabic is. At least modern standard Arabic, which is like kind of a global standard dialect, whereas you go to different countries and they all speak different kind of forms of Arabic. Phrases like imshallah and alhamdulillah is like so big. There's like grammatical forms in the language that have to do with God and praising God and being grateful. I think that's so fascinating because Islam is obviously such a massive part of the Arab world and is Arabic speaking countries. Anyway, that's, I could go on and on forever about that. If I end up like, I would love to write a huge sprawling research paper about this. If I, you know, dissertation, if I, whatever I end up doing, I'd love to talk about how music and language and food, like, you know, I don't know. There's not a lot of stuff that hasn't been said before, but that's, I'm just kind of practicing on this show. So thank you for humoring me in my nerdy, geeky babblings about the world and all it has to offer. Anyway, on a less serious note, here is a group called the Vuvuzela Chromatic Orchestra. The Vuvuzela is an instrument that was popularized in, I think, 2010 when the World Cup was in Africa. Yes, it was in South Africa, I think. And I remember there being a lot of memes on like the early internet in like 2010, 2011 about the Vuvuzela. It's this like long plastic horn that just makes this horrible sound when you listen to it. And at these soccer matches, they would be thousands of fans in the state, in this huge stadium that are built to accommodate the World Cup. You know, millions of people are watching around the world, and they'd have these big plastic horns, and then they would just be making this noise, and like a cacophony, a chorus of vuvuzelas would sound like a swarm of like hornets, and it would sound like a bee's nest. And if you can find stuff online of recordings of these matches, and it's just crazy how it just sounds like this. There's this din of vuvuzela. Anyway, There's a band, apparently, an orchestra of vuvuzelas, and they do cover songs using that instrument. So this is London Bridge is Falling Down by the Vuvuzela Chromatic Orchestra. Please at least try to enjoy. It's all about, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear that chromatic modulation? They're living up to their name. That was a key change and a half right there.
Amode shemi tiami da tia jowo dupe mi saya ko wa fun mi layan tutu.
That was Fantastic Cat by Takako Minikawa off an album called Rumic Cube. I need to listen to this. This is some really cool album cover. Recommended by another, by a comrade of WMFO. Anyway, we're wrapping up today. Thank you for tuning in. Again, I've been on the past couple of weeks, but this is this show is every other week. So every other Monday at noon. So we won't be here next Monday. We'll be here on Monday the 31st. Wow, next time you hear me, it'll be on Halloween. We'll have an extra special spooky Global Grooves episode for that. We got two more songs coming out from you. This very next one is by... So I learned this. I'm taking an Origins of Electronic Music class here at Tufts. Awesome class with this guy, Paul Lerman, who is an extremely accomplished purveyor of musical technology. He invented MIDI. And if you know what MIDI is, like, wow, he invented MIDI. That's really cool. Anyway, we're talking about basically the evolution of electronic music and how technology advanced the composition and production of electronic music. And we got to this, we were talking about synthesizers, very modern synthesizers, and we talked about how in the 1960s, the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company, had this thing called the Radiophonic Workshop, where they basically paid a lot of experimental electronic music composers to get together and make all these little jingles that are like 30 seconds to 2 minutes long for their programming. So it'd be stuff like Doctor Who, you know, all this BBC programming, and between there'd be these little interstitial things, little jingles, and it's some of the coolest. They're all on Spotify. It's called the BBC Radiophonic Workshop, and there are so many cool little electronic ditties that are so pleasing to the ear, and just any time in the day, they'll make your life better. So we're playing something from that, one of my favorite, off of like this 30-song collection of those jingles. And then, of course, what would a Global Grooves episode be if I wasn't dedicating a song to my Nana? So by special request, we'd be playing some Ricardo Rey, otherwise known as Richie, with his song Si Te Contara. So... that's all for today. Oh, wait, what did I do? Hold on. I had a whole PSA coming up. You know what? So instead of... okay, take an audible here. Anyway, got to read a PSA. What am I doing? I had one queued up right here. Here are some numbers to think about. World wealth distribution. The world's eighth richest billionaires, control as much wealth as half the world's population combined, according to an Oxfam International report presented at the 2017 World Economic Forum in Davos. Those eight men, they're men, by the way, owned the same as the 3.6 billion people who make up the poorest half of humanity. In 2010, by comparison, it took the combined assets of the 43 richest people to equal those of the poorest 50%. 43 people, 50% of the world. Since 2009, the wealth of the super rich has increased by an average of 11% annually, while income for many workers has remained essentially unchanged. And there's a very handy little chart here measuring the share of global wealth from 2010 to 2015. You see the richest 1% is this blue line from 2010 to 2015 that is steadily going up. And with that increase, the other 99% is going down. So those are just some numbers to think about from WMFO and Medford Tufts Educational Radio. I'm not going to wax poetic about that. I've been doing enough woke speak for today. Thank you for humoring me. This has been DJ Jake Simon. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Here's a little Richie Ray for you.
La inmensa amargura que llevo tan dentro, la triste historia que noche tras noche
de dolor y pena. Llena mi alma, surge a mi memoria como una condena. Si lo supieras, te importaría. Si te dijera que en mí ya no queda ni luz ni alegría, que tu recuerdo es el daño más fuerte que me hago yo mismo por vivir soñando con que tú regreses. Arrepentida.
Anyone 5 WMFO Medford.